Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome here from our side to this investor and analyst call. You saw the news lines today that we announced to form a joint venture with Duratex with the intention to construct the 450,000 ton of dissolved wood pulp capacity in Brazil, and the intention of this call is to give you more insights into that. Taking a step back, the strategy of Lenzing's Core 10 is all about organic growth. Organic growth in the area of specialty fibers, and we estimate that the world needs from Lenzing every year and a half to 2 years, some 90,000 tons-100,000 tons of lyocell to satisfy this highly attractive market. Together with the intention to internationalize our asset footprint, move our cost base closer to where the revenue originates, we make a substantial contribution to the strategic goals of Lenzing, not only growing the company, but also improving its EBITDA, so its earning profile, and substantially reducing volatility. An essential part, a must-win battle in the execution of this strategy and reaching our the repositioning of the group is the backward integration into the dissolved wood pulp. We already mentioned this in our strategy announcements in 2015, so let's dive this little bit deeper into this market. Dissolved wood pulp, the key raw material for wood-based cellulosic fibers, is just around 3% of the total demand for pulp, virgin pulp that is being demanded every year. Almost 180 million tons of pulp is being used in paper and board application. Only 5 million tons in form of dissolved wood pulp go in wood-based cellulosic fibers. Why is this important? Because many of the pulp installations that are today in dissolved wood pulp around the world have its origin in the paper pulp side. In dissolving wood pulp, next to dissolved wood pulp, as the key raw material for wood-based cellulosic fibers, it is cotton linter, with around 1 million ton, which is a raw material for wood-based cellulosic fibers. However, increasingly, losing importance and relevance, both for economic but also for ecological reasons. Today, it's pretty much only in China that cotton linter pulp is being produced. Going a bit further in depth now in the dissolved wood pulp market. The 6 million tons of dissolved wood pulp capacity in the world, more than a third of this, so roughly 35%, is by players that are forward integrated into wood-based cellulosic fibers. Now, it's us, but also Bela and Setri. The other two-thirds are merchant suppliers. Many of them have relatively small scale, anywhere between 100,000 and 250,000 tons. There's, however, one very big one, and which is Sappi, the biggest player in this field. Now, if we look at the technology base, 80% of the total market today is running only on dissolved wood pulp, 20% are swing capacities, either design or historically converted plants that can run both paper pulp as well as dissolved wood pulp. From the 2 million tons of capacity that we expect to be added over the next two, four, or five years, however, 80% will be swing capacities. Again, partly because they're designed that way, but even more so because they're converted paper pulp lines, such as the one, for example, that Setri is gonna do. So that means that actually the intertwinedness of dissolved wood pulp with paper pulp is increasing, which not necessarily, given the very different dynamics, is conducive for a specialty business model as we are intending to do. So what are and were the strategic goals that we have set ourselves when we said we want to go up to around a range of 75% dissolved wood pulp backward integration? Number one, this is a very important step for the group, so it must be absolute cost leadership position. We will not do something that is a Q2 or Q3 cost position. It needs to be something that is very left on the cost curve. Second, in this business, it will be all about the right wood economics and to have the right wood and security of supply. Right also means certified, FSC certified. Last, we need to have control. We need to have control to make sure that the fiber qualities that we want to produce, that the grades that we want to produce, can be served. So we need to have control over this venture. So we have investigated more than 100 different options over the last 2 years. The strategic options among them were doing something together with one of the existing suppliers, converting a paper pulp mill into a dissolved wood pulp mill, or to go greenfield. Now, with the economics and the dynamics that we see today in paper pulp, brownfield conversions are not very easy, and as a consequence, we have decided to go greenfield. Now, let's go into some of the key facts of what we announced. Number one, we will form a joint venture with Duratex. We will hold 51%, Duratex will hold 49%. We have secured the respective biomass, the land, it will be all FSC certified. We are eyeing at a 450,000 ton capacity, which in itself will make it the largest single dissolved wood pulp plant in the world. We will deploy kraft pulp technology, use eucalyptus as the key raw material, which is most economically grown over there in Brazil. And assuming that we will take a final investment decision after the basic engineering somewhere second half of 2019, take another 2.5 years until construction and operational ramp up are behind us. Lenzing will be the sole off-taker, user and marketer of dissolved wood pulp. And we estimate that the CapEx, still all subject to the basic engineering study and based on current FX rate, will be somewhat more than $1 billion. Why Brazil? If you think in terms of productive forest plantations, eucalyptus plantation, Brazil is the place to go. Very favorable wood economics. So both in terms of climate, soil, sun, and so on, this is the place to be. Over the last 20-odd years, almost 50% of all the pulp capacity, and this is paper pulp, that was built in the world was built in Brazil. As a consequence, very strong local talent pool. Talent pool when it comes to building plants as well as running plants. But not only the talents to build and run, also the supplier network and the engineering network in Brazil are second to none. Within Brazil, we have focused on the state of Minas Gerais, more specifically on Triângulo Mineiro. Outstanding wood economics, very good inbound as well as outbound logistics, and the plantation that we have secured there of 43,000 hectares is a large single plot plantation. It was established already in 1973, and our partner who owns this plantation is FSC certified since the year 1995. So economical, but also very sustainable. Our partner, Duratex, is a very strong and experienced partner, and we're very proud and happy to have them on board. They're listed on the Sao Paulo Stock Exchange. They're in the Southern Hemisphere, the biggest producer of industrial wood panels, and have, as a consequence, very strong knowledge in terms of the R&D on forestry, all the different clones when it comes to eucalyptus and so on, but also excellent experience in sustainable forestry management. A lot of experience in constructing and building a big-scale plant in Brazil, and with the shareholders, we have two very strong groups behind Duratex. Itaúsa, the parent company with 40%, share in Duratex, is also the major shareholder of the Itaú Bank, the biggest bank in South America, as well as the Ligna Group. So, this joint venture will eye a 450,000-ton single-line dissolved wood pulp plant, excellent wood economics, most modern, I think, setup that is out there in the industry, and as a consequence, we are eyeing to get absolute cost leadership in this industry, very left on the supply curve, on the cost curve. Now, for us, this is a very important step. We have now, over the last month, finalized all the contracts and agreements that take care of everything there is to come in the future in the joint venture. We've secured the plantation, we have secured the plot size, we have done all the conceptual engineering work and this feasibility study, and now we are entering a very important phase of basic engineering and permitting. We think this will take us a bit more than a year. And somewhere in the second half of next year, we're going to make the investment decision once this is done. This is a very important step, big step for us. So we will take a lot of prudence and care to make sure that we not only have the right raw material base, the right logistics and everything, but also that from an installation and then execution risk, we have everything well under control. Now, once we have then taken this decision, as I said before, some 2.5 years later, we can assume that then construction and ramp-up would be behind us. So all in all, a very important step, a very exciting step in executing our strategy. It puts us on a very sound footing with respect to our specialty fiber growth. And with that, I would like to stop our elucidations and start the Q&A session.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we'll begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on a touch-tone telephone. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. Please limit yourself to two questions only so that everyone has a chance to ask a question. Should there be time left, we can start a second Q&A session. One moment for the first question, please. First question comes from the line of Stefan Trubrich of Kepler Cheuvreux.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Stephanie. Thanks for taking my questions. My first question would be related to the required CapEx. You said that you plan roughly $1 billion for this project. Given the structure of the JV with 51% for Lenzing and 49% for your partner, I would like to know, can we assume that the CapEx will be split in the same ratio, or is it slightly different? As I saw also that Duratex contributes the forestry assets into the joint venture. This would be the first question. And then the second question, I saw on Duratex presentation that there is basically an offtake agreement that you also mentioned at market conditions. So are you basically then buying the share that is owned by Duratex at market rates? Is this correct? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Trubrich. Let me start with the second one and also some introductions on your first question, and I hand over to Thomas Oldendorf. Indeed, we have an offtake agreement that we will take care of the, as I said, to be the sole marketer and user of this. From a consolidation point of view, that doesn't change anything because we will be fully consolidating this joint venture. But indeed, in terms of taking care and also ownership of the material, this will be Lenzing. From a CapEx point of view, the shareholding is indeed 51 to 49%. What we have specified is that somewhat above 1 billion is the construction and the CapEx that we estimate at this moment in time. That's all still subject to the basic engineering outcome for the plant. So that doesn't include the biomass implantation. But Thomas, maybe some more elucidation from your side.
I mean, on the financing, actually, what we have in mind is that on joint venture level, we will have a debt equity ratio of 60-40%. And the equity, of course, will be contributed by the respective parent companies. And with regards to the debt side, actually, what it's now relatively early to talk about that. However, what we are thinking of is that, of course, there will be some equipment coming from Europe. It would make sense probably to take out loans via ECAs, and looking also at the nature of the project, actually it would also make sense to approach one or the other multilateral organization to make sure that the tenors of the debt is long enough.
And can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, because I'm trying. Coming back to this CapEx thing, because I was just wondering, because looking at the slides provided by your partner and the financial statements of Duratex, I mean, they operate currently at 2.8 times net debt to EBITDA. And if I would just basically share the 1 billion CapEx 50-50, they would get to 5 times net debt to EBITDA. So is it just for us to reconcile? I mean, is it the case that you will pay 510 million and they pay 490 million for the construction of the plant? This is how it's currently lined up?
From the... You need to assume that everything that we will spend 51-49. Now, how then, again, if debt is being guaranteed by the one or the other parent, how this translates in itself in the balance sheet, I think that is something you will know how to do.
Okay, good. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Markus Meyer of Baader Helvea.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Stephanie. Again, on this CapEx spending, have I understood it rightly that basically after 2.5 years of the construction ramp-up, which is basically starting in the second half of next year, then the real ramp-up is in 2022, or is it already in the end of 2021? First question together with the question on the phasing of the CapEx spending. Maybe you can elaborate on this as well. And then the second question is, can you maybe share some thoughts on what kind of EBITDA impact you expect from this backward integration? Thank you.
Okay. Now, when you speak about phasing, and that's why I was also was a bit careful in my in the position, as I said, this is an important step for us, so we're not going to, you know, just rush that. Now, if you think in terms of typical timelines for such a plant, construction as well as ramp up of around 2.5 years is about right. Now, that, however, is all. And then we need to say, when will we take the final decision? And then at that moment in time, we think second half 2019 sounds about right. But if it takes us a quarter longer, it will take us a quarter longer. Now,
so as I add on this, then the ramp up in 2022 to be on the safe side is then a good decision.
I think so. I would not start, okay, you know, modeling anything that in 2021 we do ramp up.
Okay.
Good. The second, in terms of EBITDA impact, we will not give any specific guidance, but if you now think of where the market price is today of dissolved wood pulp at 9.30 and look at the cost curve where we are at absolute cost leadership position, it will be a very, very strong EBITDA boost to the group.
And the last question on the phasing of the CapEx spending, should be to expect the phasing to be equally spent over the years, or is there a back-end or front-end loaded number you expect?
In terms of the phasing of the CapEx, maybe some Heiko?
Yeah, Mr. Meyer, to answer that question, I think it's a little bit too early to tell, because it will be crucial as well for the overall cost and the timeline which execution model is going to be chosen. And here, it's too early, but I would expect a more or less equal spending over the duration of the project.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
The next question comes from the line of Sean Ungerer of Arcom Capital.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for the time. Just in terms of the basic engineering and permitting process, I mean, could you give us maybe some insight as to what you think the risks or around that sort of process, and are you pretty comfortable that the permitting shouldn't be a problem? That's my first question. And then second question, just in terms of the plantations that have been secured, I mean, is that going to be sold at market-related prices? How will that work? Thanks.
Now, in terms of the permitting, Now, that is still always, you know, a certain risk related to that, but we did our homework, so we feel pretty good on that. We've done a lot of work over the last year and a half on the conceptual feasibility, and together with our partner, who is local there, we think this is something that is manageable. Now, with respect to the plantation and the biomass will be part of the joint venture. So will be full control, not only in terms of managing the plantation, but also it will be part of the assets of the company. So no, there will be no transfer price of that. So simply whatever the production of the wood costs us will be part of the P&L, but there are no other over-the-fence kind of an agreement.
Okay, thanks very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Next question comes from the line of Markus Meyer of Baader Helvea.
Yeah, good morning. Two questions as well. And again, first one on the kind of hurdle rates you have for projects. So when you basically say 1 billion investment and then a significant EBITDA impact, is it right to assume that the hurdle rate is clearly above a 12-15% percentage number? And secondly, on the experience you said that there are significant engineers in Brazil which have know-how to build up construct the plant. What is the experience of Duratex there? Is the market pretty long, so I expect that they are basically also the leading company when it comes to such a project. Is this right?
Okay. Maybe starting with the hurdle rate, we don't give guidance on individual project. We have said that our return on capital employed needs to be above 10%, and it's an after-tax return on capital employed. So each individual project in its own right need to be well above the 10% in order to make it. With respect to the local situation with Duratex, now we have more experience in pulp. We have our own pulp engineering also in-house. But Duratex has not only a great network in this area, they themselves are also very knowledgeable about building large installations over there. Now, if you look a little bit at Brazil over the last number of years, you can say almost every year, year and a half, a major project was being kicked off, whether it is from Fibria, Horizonte 2, or from Suzano, El Dorado. So in itself, to do these kind of projects in Brazil is pretty common. So you have, as I said before, all the supplier infrastructure there. You have great talent when it comes to construction management. And that's something I think also with the network Duratex and their shareholders have, we have a very powerful partner to help us in this. But we will, as Lenzing, not hand over the responsibility for technology on so to Duratex. That is still a lot of know-how that we have within our group. As you might know, we have, as Lenzing, been heavily involved also with other pulp plants as a technology provider. We have converted our own pulp plant in the past. There's a lot of know-how in the group.
Okay, perfect. Thanks so much.
The next question comes from the line of Wayne Napier of Avior Capital Markets.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for the call and the update. I just want to talk about your backward integration. On commissioning of this 450,000 ton mill, what percentage do you foresee yourself being backward integrated? And I understand this is difficult to answer, given that you haven't sort of disclosed the quantum of the size of the viscose line you are installing in Thailand. And then just how does this the capex of this project affect what you are potentially looking at doing in the Thailand plant? Thanks very much.
Okay, I think when we look at the overall supply balance within the group, it is 75% backward integration that we are targeting long term. Now, if we assume the timeline to be what it is, it might be indeed for a period of time that we are quite a bit higher than that. But over the long run, we are very committed to having both some exposure to the merchant market as well as being strong captive. From a balance sheet point of view, we feel that we are in very safe territory. This will not be hindering us from following our ambition in Thailand, whether it is now for the first line, second line, third line in the future. So we feel very well equipped over there. And just to make sure, because you said viscose, in Thailand, we are building lyocell plants. Also in mobile, we are building lyocell plants. So this is our specialty. Based cellulosic fiber plants.
And maybe just a... No, sorry, I've lost my train of thought. Thanks very much. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Stefan Trubrich of Kepler Chevreux.
Yeah, it's Stefan Trubrich, Kepler Chevreux again. I've one more question related to the Thailand project, the lyocell project. Have you made a decision now that you are going to go ahead there? And would it be fair to assume that the volumes you're going to produce in Brazil are then geared towards supplying your lyocell plants in the US and Thailand? And just assuming that you go ahead with everything, so the lyocell plant in Thailand, as well as you give the green light for this pipe project, could you provide us a CapEx schedule until 2022? You said that for 2018 it's roughly 300 million euros, but could you bridge the time until 2022 and give us now some numbers so that we can pencil that into our forecasts? Thank you.
Mr. Trubich, we will actually we are eyeing a capital market day in late autumn, where we will also give a full update about the strategy update and including some of the more medium long-term financial guidance, as you just indicate, including CapEx. So I would say we will do that now, because today is very much, I think, just news on this project. And the exact, I think, split of where we're going to supply the pulp to, I think that is also something that at this moment in time we think it is too early to go into specifics.
Okay, good. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Sean Ungerer of Orcam Capital. Mr. Ungerer, your line is open.
Hi there. Thanks. Just in terms of the CapEx of $1 billion, obviously, I think there's a proviso there that is subject to FX rates, generic tax incentives, and then obviously the engineering study. So is for $1 billion the baseline that we're starting with? I mean, is there a risk of that going materially above that? That's the first question. And then just secondly, on the forestry ownership, could you just clarify what you said earlier? I wasn't sort of sure if that was going to be sitting in the JV per se, or that's coming in part of your partner's share. Just trying to understand how the sort of ownership of those assets is going to work. Thanks.
Okay. First question on the CapEx, I would refer to the major disclaimer, and this is, it's all subject to basic engineering studies, and I would leave it with that. I think it is really too early before we are even in the basic engineering to come with precise guidance and say it can be above, it can be below. That is sort of the best figure we can provide at this moment in time. And I think with the exchange rate and basic engineering, there are sufficient disclaimers. But we're pretty aware that we need to give some guidance on the dimension. Now, with respect to the plantations.
So if you don't mind, just one follow-up on that specifically. I mean, sort of what FX rates are you guys using in that $1 billion, if you don't mind me asking?
This is current FX rate on the Brazilian
real. So spot. Okay, great. Thanks.
And when it comes to the forestry, think about it that way. the biomass will be a contribution in kind by our partner into the joint venture. So the joint venture will actually be the owner of the biomass. Now, and the land will be leased on a normal market-based lease basis, but the biomass will be owned by the joint venture. And also the joint venture will run the plantation.
Okay, got you. Thanks. Thanks very much.
Which, by the way, is in Brazil the way to go for anybody who is foreigner, because land ownership in Brazil as a foreign group is at this moment in time still not possible.
Thank you very much.
There are no further questions at this time. I hand back to the presenters for closing remarks.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for attending the call. It's an exciting step for us. We were happy that on such short notice you could join us here, and we wish you all a very good day. Thank you.